Well, it's good to be in church this morning, isn't it? Thank the Lord we're here. We're able to be here. We're able to get here. You have your Bibles, open them to the book of John, chapter number 20. John, chapter number 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And while he was talking about all those years ago, I still am a young man, and I'm grateful for that. But I just started young. I started 21, and I'm 44 this year. Turned 44 in January. Still young, praise the Lord for that. But I was thinking, Brother Leakley, when I came here and was sitting down listening to the singing and what have you, it's amazing what the Lord's done with Bible Baptist Church, isn't it? How the Lord's added and how the facilities here. It's just great to see the Lord's work and what He's done for you, what He's doing. And, you know, people's been sent out of here and went to Bible college and went overseas, and some's pastoring churches that's been through here. And it's a blessing to see the Lord's work affecting in a visible way. But, you know, it's no telling how much it's affected in ways we'll never see. That's what makes the Lord's work so amazing, is seeing how He does things that we don't even know about. I was preaching in right outside of Greensboro, North Carolina, which is south of Raleigh and that area. We lived in Greensboro for about three and a half years, and I was in the first, second, and third grade. I was preaching outside of Greensboro in a town called High Point, North Carolina, which is not far from Greensboro. And as I was preaching, I told my testimony about how I was saved. I happened to mention that I was saved at Vandalia Christian School. And I mentioned the teacher, Miss Owens, was teaching and how she gave the gospel and so on and so forth. While I was preaching, after the service, a young lady came up to me. She says, "My daughter goes to Vandalia Christian School." She says, and I substitute over there. She says, "And Miss Owens, I know her." She says, "She doesn't teach there anymore. She's actually a kind of a principal at another private school." I said, "Well, if you don't mind, get her number for me if you can. I'd like to call her." And I did. I called her and I told her, if she remembered me, of course, I always leave an impact on people there in those days for the more negative. She paddled me on more than one occasion. And so she remembered who I was. And I told her, I said, "Miss Owens, I just want to thank you for, I mean, I was raised in the Christian home, but the Lord used her at that time for telling the gospel one more time to a bunch of kids. It was a Christian school, but took the time to tell the gospel. She had an influence on me, and I know she didn't know, and she probably doubted that anything ever great, and I don't say great, but anything profitable ever came out of my life. But I was encouraged that hopefully it encouraged her. And it's amazing what serving the Lord will do. A little act of kindness. Just something that's, I mean, so many stories run through my mind now. I'm not going to elaborate on them, but I'm thankful for what this impact that you've had, not only on people in this area, but in our life, our home. And he was mentioning coming here back in the 90s, and I'm grateful that we still can come here because there's still a church, there's still a pastor, and there's still people that's faithful. Some of you were here when I first came, and I'm grateful for that. And I know the Lord is also thankful, if you will, for your service. Are you in John chapter 20? For the next few days, I want us to look at one word. We're going to follow that word in the Gospels. We'll find that word mentioned in verse number 16. But we're going to read a few verses before that. In verse number 10, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, that I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, our word there is Master. I want us for the next few days to look at the Master in the Gospel. You know, that word Master, simple definition means to conquer, to overpower, to subdue, to bring under control, to execute skill, to master. You know, there are some in our midst this morning, I'm sure, that are pretty crafty at different ways and different things. There may be some here this morning that are pretty handy with wood or metal. I know there are some here in our midst this morning that can make stuff out of raw material, if you will. They can carve things or make things. But you know, when you look at what they've done, they will, because they have a more critical eye. They may see a flaw in it here or there. And I know there's some musicians in our midst, and there's been some great musicians down through history. But there's never been one that can completely master that musical instrument. There may be some athletes here. There are some that maybe swing the golf club or throw the ball or try to hit the ball, and they're good and they're great at what they do, but they've never really mastered it. I just heard on the radio how they counseled the Masters. I don't know if you like to watch golf. I've heard you shoot pool, you don't have to chase the ball this far. But they have the Masters. They counseled. But you know, there's something about the Masters. There's always, over a period of time, numerous ones wearing the green coat, which tells us they've not completely mastered it, have they? So when they call him Master, can I tell you, he has rightfully earned or deserves that term. Because the Lord Jesus, there's absolutely nothing that he needs to improve on. There's no flaws in him. There are no blemishes in him. He is rightfully noted and called the Master. And for the next 5 services, this one being included, we're going to look. There's many more, but time will not allow us to cover all of the Masters. But there's many more, but we're going to look at 5 Masters. This morning, I want us to look at the Master of Problems. And we're met here with Mary Magdalene. And you'll find, and we'll just cover 3 problems that the Master mastered in her life. You'll find, first of all, that he mastered her sin problem. In Luke's Gospel, in chapter number 8, I will read to you when we're introduced to Mary Magdalene. The Bible tells us that after it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and villages preaching, showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. The Lord went about preaching. The Lord was a preacher. I don't want to get caught off on that, but this world, they want religion to be more, let me share something with you, or let me lecture you. The Lord was not a lecturer. He was not a speaker. He was a preacher. And he went about preaching. And the Bible said there was a certain woman in verse number 2 of Luke 8, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom 7 devils. Mary Magdalene was a woman that was overcome, if you will, by sin. Jesus was in her area and he was preaching. Can I just use modern vernacular? He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching deliverance. He was preaching, he often says, look unto me, all ye into the earth, and be saved. The Lord was preaching, I am him who was talked about in the prophets. The Bible tells us after the resurrection that he went on that road of Emmaus and he began to talk to them and they didn't know who he was, and he went all the way back to the prophets and expounded upon himself things that were spoken of him all the way back from Moses. Can you imagine that message? Great expository message. The master began to pull out all of that things concerning himself. Well, as he was in this area, there was Mary Magdalene, and she was controlled by sin. She was overwhelmed by sin. She was so stooped into sin. We have a male example of that a little bit more in detail. We call him the maniac of Gadara. You know what the Bible says about that man? The Bible says no man could tame him. He couldn't even tame himself because he would cry and he cut himself. The Bible said that he dwelt outside of town because nobody could live with him. He dwelt among the tombs. This man was overcome by sin. And such was Mary Magdalene. I would imagine that Mary Magdalene, I know that one day she was just a beautiful girl. Baby, like they're talking about this new baby that was born this past week. She was like that baby at one time. Some mother probably held her in her arms and had all of these fantasies of what this little girl is going to become. She thought about all of these things that she's going to go through. Thought about when she'd say her first word, and maybe thought about when she'd take her first step. Maybe envision how she would fix her hair. She'd be her little princess. And as she began to grow, those things probably came to pass. She was a beautiful little girl, probably. And she did take her first step. And she did say her first word. And mom did fix her hair. And she was a beautiful little girl. And she went from being a little girl to being a young lady, a teenager. Where beauty seems to fade in some obscure way, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, she became a person. And she had her own opinion. And she had her own desires. And I don't know what happened to Mary Magdalene. But between that little baby in mama's arms to becoming a lady, something happened to her that wasn't good. And I use today's wording, sin became prominent in her life. I don't know, but let's just think about it. Maybe she left her mom and dad's religion and started doing her own thing. She left the crowd that was right and started going to the wrong crowd. She left doing the things that she knew she should do and started experimenting with things that she had been warned about and told not to do. Somewhere she made the wrong turn in life. Somewhere she made the wrong decision in her life. Somewhere she listened to wrong counsel. She started down the wrong road. Can I just take a moment and say, any road contrary to God's road is the wrong road. Any way contrary to God's way is the wrong way. Any counsel contrary to God's counsel is the wrong counsel. You'll not do yourself any harm by going God's way. You'll not do yourself any injustice by going and listening to God's word. You'll not hurt yourself by obeying the word of God and submitting yourself to the Lord. Oh, young people, let me say, the world, they may tell you, hey, this is a better way. This is a more exciting way. This is the more popular way. Oh, but all of those ways, they end up with a dead-end street of regret. Mary Magdalene, she went that way. Boy, sin mastered her. And such is sin. The Bible said, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is death. I want to tell you, there's nothing pretty at the end of sin. I've told this probably here, but they were having an old, as the old timers say, an old advertisement. They were making an advertisement. And they were selling liquor. So you know how that liquor crowd is. They wanted it as pretty as possible. So they found their actor to portray the part. He was a handsome man. They got him the nicest name brand Western wear. They had the prettiest scene out in the West with a beautiful mountain behind him, snow-capped mountain. He was sitting on a name brand high-dollar bass boat. And he had all of the high-end fishing equipment. And he was sitting there. And they had him with a nice cowboy hat on. and they had him holding up a Budweiser can or a beer can, and the caption read this, "It doesn't get any better than this." And the old preacher that told that said, "That's exactly right. It gets a whole lot worse." And such is sin. Sin, as that old preacher said, it'll show you the front yard and give you the back. Sin will show you a Cadillac and give you a Volkswagen. As he would elaborate about the deceptiveness of sin. And such is sin. And Mary Magdalene, she was mastered by sin. She did not know what way to go. She could not find any peace in her soul. She heard the voices of the world and she listened to the voices of society. And she was completely controlled. She was mastered by sin. And sin will master you. Sin will master you. I'm telling you this morning, you can't take one little drink and not begin to get entangled in its web. In this society where they think all of these drugs are all right to take, and I understand there are some needs for pharmaceuticals. I believe in taking some medicines if I need it, but in this world where they want to make everything legal to gratify our flesh, and they say it's unharmful. Can I tell you, when you begin to draw those things, you'll find out that it's sucking something out of you. And it will ensnare you. And sin masters. You get on that computer or that device and begin to look at things to gratify yourself, thinking I can cut it off or I can put it down. Can I say, you'll find out that eventually you can't. Why? Because it becomes the master. Sin masters a man in his natural state. And there's no way. Sure, my dear friend, you may can go to some type of therapy, but you'll find out it's always something under the surface that you have to suppress. It doesn't change who you are. Sin masters. And Mary Magdalene was mastered by sin, and one day providence would so have it, Ruth happened to land in Boaz's field, Mary Magdalene happened to land in an evangelistical campaign that Jesus was preaching in. I don't know where she sat. I don't know if she was in the backside of the crowd or on the side or maybe on the front, quote unquote, row. But Jesus began to say, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Mary said, "That's me. I'm weary. I'm tired of this sin. Tired of these voices. I'm tired of being controlled and manipulated and pulled and twisted and just overwhelmed. I'm one of those weary. I'm one of those heavy laden." And she heard the voice says, "Take my yoke upon me, my yoke upon you, for I'm meek and lowly of heart." She said, "Boy, there ain't many that's meek in my surroundings. There's not many lowly around my friends. It's a rowdy bunch that I'm around." And he said, "Learn of me." Oh, my dear friend, she said, "I want to learn more about him." And she went down and said, "I want to be one of those." And the Lord mastered her sin. What mastered her, the Master mastered it. She could not master sin. She could not get rid of it. She found herself just overwhelmed, but the Master mastered her sin problem. And such is the case with Him. He can master sin because He's the Master. You may be here this morning and you're overwhelmed with sin. You've tried turning over new leaves. You've tried trying religion. You've tried putting your best foot forward. You've tried going to church. You've tried all of these things and you found out that you wound up in the same pit that you drug yourself out of to get to where you thought you ought to go. Can I tell you this morning, there's one here that can master that sin. You know what? The songwriter said it this way. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, you may go down to the place and go through the therapy and they'll stand up. I know at one particular place they'll stand up and they'll give their name and they'll say, my name is so-and-so and I am an alcoholic. And the other one will get up and say, I'm so-and-so and I am an alcoholic. But I'm glad when the master's. We don't stand up and say, I am this or I am that. We say, behold, I am a new creature. All things are passed away. I've become new. I've not been restored like these vehicles, these old baby boomers. They want to go back and live their life over again. They get them old 50s and 60s Chevelles and which I don't mind them myself, and them Camaros, and they'll get them Mustangs. We had a 68 Mustang. Then we got kids, and we had to sell it and got a minivan. But, you know, you get all of these cars, and you know what they'll do? They'll find them in some old shed somewhere, or they'll find them out in the field somewhere, and they got enough money, they'll bring them in, and they'll restore them. They'll sandblast them. They'll look online and they'll get all of the original authentic parts and put it back on that vehicle. But that vehicle, my dear friend, is restored. That's not what God does to those who He saves. He don't sandblast them with a bunch of Baptist religion. He don't give them some authentic parts that somebody's polished up. He makes them new. Brand new. All things aren't put in the closet. They passed away. He masters them. They've got them creams. Them ladies like, somebody ought to sue them in this sue crazy world we live in. Anti-aging cream. I'm suing you for a false advertisement. There's no such thing, is there? There's anti-aging. We'd be bathing in it. They'll rub that anti-aging trying to lift the wrinkles. Well, I'm for all that. If you want to do it, have yourself a time. But I want to tell you, that's not what the Lord does. He don't try to hide the wrinkles. He makes us brand new. He masters sin. If you're having a problem with sin this morning, can I tell you, you'll never be able to master it. But there is one that can master it. The Lord Jesus. The songwriter said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Because it's in the right hands. It's in the only hands that can master the sin. Mary Magdalene found Him to be the master of her sin problem. But then back in our gospel, our text chapter in John 20, not only did He master her problem with sin, but in verse 13, the Bible says that she was weeping. In verse number 11, the Bible says she was weeping. She wept. We find that Mary Magdalene, she was overcome with sadness. Sadness and worry and fear. She was grieving over the Lord because in her mind, Jesus was stolen. Somebody took His body away. She came to that tomb early the morning and she looked inside and she didn't see the Lord in there. And the other disciples came and Jesus was gone. They went away and she stood at the tomb weeping, sad. She said in verse 15, or the Lord says to her, unbeknownst to her, the Lord said, why weepest thou? She says to the Lord, thanking Him to be the gardener, if you've taken Him away, tell me where He's at, that I might go get Him. She was overcome with sadness. And Jesus comes to her and He says, Mary. And all of a sudden, this overwhelming sadness. Have you ever been overwhelmed with grief? Some, I'm sure, have been in greater distress than others have been in here, but grief, just no words can soothe them, the grief. Circumstances can't alleviate the sadness. That's where Mary found herself. She found herself that the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Peter and John that came, and all the other disciples, her friends that were there with her at the tomb, no one could master this problem with sadness. She was overwhelmed. She just kept weeping and kept weeping. No one was able to dry her tears. From the beginning when she discovered in her mind that Jesus was stolen, John and Peter had been there. Her friends had been there. No one was able to dry her tears. But Jesus comes and he says, but one word, Mary, just calls her name. And all of a sudden the master has mastered her sadness. Just one word. I like what the songwriter says. He whispers sweet peace to me. Oh, it's heaven below, he said. I'm telling you this morning, he can master sadness. Now, grief, people display grief in all different ways. You know, sadness affects us in different ways. There's some that's real emotional. Then there's some that turn inward. There's some that get real talkative. There's some that get real quiet. But we all are human beings. We have emotions. Some can't show it very well. Some are very stoic. You don't know what they're thinking. Those are the scariest, aren't they? And I'm going to tell you, there may be some here this morning that you're overwhelmed with sadness. You may have been carrying this load a long time. You may be sitting there. I remember I preached a meeting for a fellow, I don't know if you know him, brother, lately, Clifton Light. He's in heaven today, but he's over in Llewellyn, West Virginia. That's where the sun comes up around 12 o'clock in the afternoon in the mountains. They say they don't get Monday night football to Wednesday. It takes so long to get back there. Well, anyway, in Llewellyn, West Virginia, Brother Clifton Light. I mean, it was just the middle of nowhere. Now, hey, there's a few stories me and Lisa can tell you about that. But I was preaching for Light, and his wife, sick with cancer. And Miss Edmonds probably knows him. I'm sorry, I didn't think about that. His wife was sick with cancer. Oh, he was such a great caregiver. He would keep care of her up until time for church. He'd rush to church when the singing was in the middle of it, and he'd preach, and he'd go back home, take care of his wife. It was a great burden, but a great love he had for that woman. She passed away. And I remember him telling me he used to keep her picture on his desk, and he'd talk to her. Boy, he said he was overwhelmed with grief. And the story is a long story how God providentially did things. And he said, he remembered that day, he looked at her picture for the last time. He says, I'm not going to talk to you no more. He said, and he went on and talked about how the Lord helped him. And he put her picture in his drawer and told her he'd see her for real on the other side. The master stepped into his overwhelming darkness and mastered his sadness. Can I tell you this morning, he can master your grief. Whatever grieves you this morning. You know, I think he can master it. He is the master. But I'll tell you, one of the techniques is that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What affects you or affects you affects him. I mean, he's touched by our grief. He enters into that grief and he masters our sadness, the master. Not only did he master her sin, not only he mastered her sadness. But if you were to go back, I'm not going to, but in Luke it says after she was transformed, she began to serve. But notice what it is in verse number 1 of our chapter. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 9, and they knew not that he was in the sepulchre and must rise again. Then the disciples went away again to their own home, but Mary stood without the sepulchre. I look at Mary Magdalene and I see that he mastered her service. Mary Magdalene was the last, the women were the last at the cross, and she was the last at the first at the tomb and the last at the tomb. Peter and John, I don't know why they went to their own home. Maybe they're typical preachers. They had to go tell something. They left, but Mary didn't leave. She stayed. You know, Mary was the first one to hear his voice after his resurrection. Mary's the first one to see him after the resurrection. Mary was the first one to talk to him after his resurrection. Because she loved him so, he had mastered her sin. He had mastered her sadness. And my dear friend, he was here displaying how he mastered her service. She was changed. She was completely changed. And the master had entered into her life and changed it so she said she wanted to serve him. She didn't leave. She got up early before the day was even there so she could go serve him. She was there when all of the other servants were there. When Peter and John were there, they were doing their service. Mary in the background just stayed there, if you will, serving. And then when they got tired and they got weary and they thought they had something else that needed more of their attention, Peter and John, they left. But Mary stayed there serving because he mastered her service. There was nothing more important for her to do. There was no other place more necessary for her to be. There was no other person more preeminent for her to minister to and to serve. There was no more affection that she needed to show to anyone else greater than she wanted to show to the Lord. She had been mastered and he had mastered her service. I want to tell you, there's something about those that the master has mastered their service. They don't always have to be in the limelight. They don't always have to have their name printed in the bulletin. They don't always have to be recognized from a place of the pulpit. They don't always have to have their name on the side of the building. They're just servants because, wow, they have met the master and he's mastered their service. The Bible tells us when she saw him, she said, "Master." Can I ask you a question this morning? Who is your master? Who is your master? Now, unfortunately, a lot of times we find that we are our own master. We do what we want to do. But I want to tell you this morning, there is but one master. The Lord Jesus. You'll find none that can master your problem with sin but Him. I don't know what motivated you to come to church this morning. Maybe you were like Mary, looking for something. Can I tell you, you can only find real peace, real joy, real fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not find it in anything other than Him. You'll not find it in a gratification of your flesh, where you look at something, do something, in order to bring some kind of thrill. That only lasts a temporal time. But the master, he can master that emptiness, that void, that problem with sin. I invite you to come this morning and say, "Lord, I want you to be my master. I can't master this problem with sin." And maybe this morning you're overwhelmed. You need a loving master to come and comfort you. Why don't you come and take your burden to the Lord? Say, "Lord, I need you to step into these situations. And I'm not going to run away from you. I want to run to you this morning." I've been trying to find different solutions and different remedies, but this morning I'm getting rid of all of those ideas, and I'm just going to take this problem and I'm going to give it to you. Because I know you're the master. It's in the best hands, in His hands, isn't it? I have a brother, the one he mentioned. He had a car somebody give him. Every time he worked on that car, it wound up not running. A lot of people, they do that with their lives. Can I tell you, every time you try to fix it, it's going to break down for sure. You need to take it to the master this morning and say, here I am, master. I give myself to you in service. I just want to come to the master. I like what he says, come. Come, that word come. Have you ever traced that word in the Bible? It's mentioned, someone said, almost 1,800 times. Come. 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 That's what we need to do. We need to come. So many people are waiting. Delay is a great tool of the devil, procrastination. So many people are walking the other way, thinking there's a better solution. But the master says, come, come, come unto me. Come now, let us reason together. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. Say, Master. Master me. I can't handle it myself, but I'm giving myself to you, to the Master. Oh, wouldn't that be great if these young people would come and say, Lord, from here on out, I want you to be the Master in my life. Not society, not myself, but you. Wouldn't it be glorious if our families would be here and they yield themselves to their Master? I want you to be the Master in my home, my marriage, the raising of my children, the motivation of all my efforts. Oh, I believe it would be successful if every church member this morning in their hearts would say, oh, Master, I come. As the song says, out of my darkness into your glorious light, Jesus, I come. Master, I'm coming to you. Will you bow your heads this morning? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the musician come, we're going to have a verse of invitation.